Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Jordi, Messi, Jordi, el centro, Messi.
Messi anco, breaking Major League en la ciudad del sol. Here in Miami, we know who's el campeón. Leo my team, yeah. Suárez on the field, always wedding day team. Con mis fechas son win, the trio five singing muchachos. Las familias se escuchan los barrios. Esta camiseta pinky la llevan todos los guachos. Los rookies quedan sin comentarios. Messi ambetea, tiki-taki gol. El estadio Chase bañado en lloro y sudor. Aquí se ama y se respeta el balón. Florida es tu casa, acostúmbrate al calor. Estate listo pa' Messi anco. Estate listo pa' Messi anco.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to an exciting, positive, I think, episode of Messi & Co. I'm Ashley, here as always with my incredible co-hosts, Gianna and Matt. Matt, tell us what this Monday is, because this is not Monday.
Monday is the new Friday, muchachos. Monday is the new Friday, guys. Come on. It's 5-1. Did anybody ever think we were going to put 5? Up on the board?
No.
I didn't think I'd see 5-3 score lines in 1 week. So that was pretty crazy, just insane. As I tweeted, one Inter got humbled, the other did the humbling. Oof, that was so good. That was so good, man.
It
was
awesome. Way too good,
man. Wow, what a couple of matches for Inter Miami. Now, the last time we had a regular episode was right after the Philadelphia Union comeback tie. And we sat here and said, you know, this could, to me, I said, this is a super positive tie and it could go one of two ways. Similarly to the Orlando match the week before, I was like, this is a season defining, like, two games. You either are going to do the positive side and you're going to build and build and you're going to figure it out and you're going to show with that comeback. Messi has the heart of a champion. He's going to teach. He's going to pull hair and make sure everyone else on his team can do it too, because he's like, follow me. I'm going to show you how it's done. Luis Suarez, that's now 3 goals in 2 matches and an assist. Turning on. That's what we need to see. And we go from Wednesday, which we did the live stream. Awesome. Inter Miami get a good victory against Montreal. Picked up some injuries, some ups and downs, but overall a good, strong victory, winning by, 3 goals with like 5 minutes to go. And then Saturday, an absolute butt-kicking of Columbus Crew versus a very well-coached team with Wilfred Nancy. And from minute one, domination from this Inter Miami team. 5 goals, all responsible by Lionel Messi. And so there's a lot of places we can talk about and a lot of things to start with. But I guess I want to start with who this show is about. I want to talk about Lionel Messi because right now Lionel Messi, if I have the numbers correctly, and I honestly, I think it may be even a little higher, over 19 goals and contributions. I actually think the last goal to Fafa made it 20. So let's just say 20 goal contributions from Messi in all competitions, knowing we still have the rest of the season, potentially the League's Cup if he plays, which I think it's looking like they will since they didn't go far in the go all the way in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. They have the Club World Cup, which starts in 2 weeks. And then we have the overall season and hopefully an MLS playoffs. what was my stupid thing I said? 100? Yeah, it seems pretty far away. But just so you know, we're 25, we're 20% there. And I would say within the last week, Messi is just starting to turn it on. And he's like, oh, no, if this is me, I'm the greatest of all time. Like, let me show you. So what are your feelings on him in general and how he has really taken a step for and with the team to what? Try and like to create the greatness in order to perform in the tournament coming up. What do you guys think about it? Anything different?
Messi's just warming up, man. Like everybody was, I don't want to say doubting, but a lot of people questioned Messi's ability, especially when this team was in pretty bad form the last 2 months. And I think what Messi has showed us in the last two games, and which I completely disagree with, and I thought he did fine. But I think what Messi showed us these last two games is just peak Messi, about to be 38 years old. And it's like, it's not going to get better than this. And this shows that he is, not only did he not lose any of his ability or skill to play the beautiful game, but it just shows how much of a leader he is. It shows how much he is dedicated and passionate about leading this team into continuing to be competitive, not just in the MLS, but now with Club World Cup coming, that you're going into Club World Cup with two back-to-back victories, with a 5-1 victory over a Columbus team that, even though struggled with some injuries, are still a very good side. And now, like you said, with League's Cup, like Messi's leading this team to being back to the old Inter Miami ways. And like, it's just Messi things. This is what Messi does.
Yeah, I never gave into the narrative that Messi was having poor performances or that Messi was lacking in any way. To me, I always thought he was the best player on the field. And it was just expected that he would always have an out-of-this-world performance every game. And I thought that that just wasn't sustainable for this team. You always needed guys around him to step up. You needed Mascherano to step up with the way that he led this team, the way he positioned them, the personnel that he put on the pitch. And I felt like they were letting Messi down in that sense. Even Mascherano doubled down on that when they asked him after the game, you know, some of a question about Messi and about his leadership. And you know, he said, and I'll say it in Spanish and I'll say it in English, but queremos armar todo alrededor de él para que él pueda lucir y liderar este equipo. Basically saying we want, it's well known, and he's not afraid to say it, we're trying to build around Messi so that he can look his best and that he can lead this team. And that's what they've continued to try to do, but they haven't done or been up to the task up until now. And now this game against Columbus was, to me, like the culmination of everything that they've been trying to do, not being able to figure it out, and finally putting the right players on the pitch, finally using the right tactics, finally using the right pace for this team to be able to excel. And I think that Messi is going to continue to have great games, and this team will continue to depend on him. And, you know, at the end of the day, regardless of how good this team looks outside of Messi, I think at the end of the day, they're going to only get as far as Messi can take them. But you have to take a little bit off of his shoulders, I feel like. So mm-hmm. I think like both of those things can live together at the same time. One being, they're going to depend on Messi, as every team in the history that Messi has played on has depended on him. But the other players do also have to take a little bit of the slack. And they sure did that against Columbus.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's true. None of us felt that his form had dipped. I think to your point, what takes great and turns it into like greatness is that you start, the other pieces around you are starting to mimic and bring that intensity. The coaching is now putting things in a way where it allows your best ability to shine. And Javier Mascherano had to make some big changes going to a game because of a lot of injuries, right? You had no Jordi Alba. Aviles was on the bench, but Bright is still out injured, and you're working with what you got. Ustari ended up coming out of the first half. They're saying it's just fatigue, though, and that he should be good for the Club World Cup, hopefully. But a couple other players that I think deserve it, and the first is Luis Suarez, because we've been saying all season that for Luis Suarez, it's like a ticking time bomb. You know, when it's bad, it's bad. And it makes it much harder for the team to play around him. And it makes it harder to know who should be playing where they should be playing, etc. And just the energy. But then when that switch flips, and it took a little longer, and we don't know how long it's going to last, but hopefully it will continue. When that switch flips, what would I say, of the last two games, there was 8 goals scored in those last two matches. I think 6 of them he was involved in, whether it was scoring them, assisting them, or being part of like the play right before, right? Like the hockey assist. I don't know what that is called in football terms, where it's like you set up the setup. So that's 6 of 8.
Secondary assist.
Right. That's 6 of 8 goals he's being now responsible for, and going from 0 to 6. So that's when he's like that and you feel dangerous. And then you have players like Tadeo Allende who are scoring now in opportunities and putting themselves consistently in good positions to score. You're seeing Segovia with a much stronger midfield role. And then you have someone like Fafa come off the bench and do exactly what he's asked to, score a freaking goal. Yeah, the first and most important person that was happy as soon as Fafa scored was Lionel Messi. Ran and jumped in his arms because he was happy for him. Great teammate. And what you're seeing is you're seeing everyone score, the ball go to all the right places, little turnover, and just an overall energy and cohesion that we haven't seen.
Yeah, they scored 5 against Columbus, 4 against Montreal,
9.
And then 3 against Philadelphia, 12. So 12 goals in the last
12 three goals games. In the last 3 games.
That's a man, that's a total turnaround for this team over the last, I think this
12 is 12 goals in 3 games. Wow, there you go.
That's why I think that one of the things that I love most about this game against Columbus, and let me say that in no way do I feel like they've turned the page yet. This is just another step forward to getting to the point where I think they want to be and remaining consistent. It started off with against this game against Philadelphia, going away from home against a really good Philadelphia side and being able to rescue a point. Then you go come back home against Montreal and you do the job that you're supposed to do, which is be a by far inferior team, last place in the East, Montreal, you get your job done. Mm-hmm. And then you go again back home and you receive a good Columbus team. And to see, and this wasn't any game, this is 5-1 against Montreal. That's another giant step forward. So I love how this team is trending. I love what they're doing. It seems like Mascherano is taking steps to right the ship. But what I loved most about this game was the pace in which they played. I think Inter Miami was just playing way too slow. They had the players to play fast. They had Tadeo Allende that can make runs into space. They have Fafa that we saw. They have Messi that when he wants to be fast, man, he's so fast at his age. And I think so many times we'd see where we'd have the ball and instead of counterattacking, it's just slow the pace down, touch the ball back, allow teams to set up their defenses to, you know, play 4 or 5 in the back, very compact, very narrow. Once the other team would set up, it was very difficult for Inter Miami to break any line to do anything. And the fact that as soon as they recovered the ball against Columbus, 1, 2, 3 passes, and they were already in the final third, ready to shoot on goal. We saw that from the very beginning. With David Martinez, it didn't end up in a goal, but it was almost a goal for Tadeo Allende, where he gets the ball and he puts a driving through ball for Tadeo Allende going into space. And then another goal, then the second ball that was also for Tadeo Allende running into space was that actually ended up being, I believe, the first goal. Like, wow, that was just so quick. I wasn't used to Inter Miami doing that, and I really loved it. Props to Tadeo Allende. Him running into space consistently opens up so many doors for us. Busquets also, his ability to pass and break a line. And then lastly, and I think we should probably take some time later on that we can get into this, but talk about Cremaschi.
Cremaschi
just absolutely balled out. And this is crazy to say. You may not agree with me, but I didn't miss Yannick Bright in the pitch. I didn't. And that's not a knock on Yannick. We all love Yannick. But that just shows how good Cremaschi was to be able to say that I did not miss Yannick Bright one moment. Like, his pressure, man, wow, who would have thought that Cremaschi isn't a winger, huh? Like, who would have thought he'd be so good in the midfield? Like, that's insane. Like,
yeah, it was big.
I could go on for 45 minutes just about how many good things were on this game. Like, there was just so many great moments.
And now that you have to, I even said, when I went live after the game, I was like, I was so well, I was impressed with Kramaski. Well, one, because like you said, like he's not a winger. So like actually playing his role made him look good. And it was great. He was pressing. He was running all over the place. He's the little motor. He was solely, I feel like he was responsible for Messi's goal. I believe it was the second goal. When he was pressing the goalkeeper, making him mess up, Messi was able to score off of that. And I mentioned that, like, it's crazy. We didn't even have Yannick Bright. So if Kremaski can continue to play in this form and to feel this rhythm, this mojo that he did against Columbus throughout maybe Club World Cup, maybe Leagues Cup, and for the majority of the second half now of this season, then it's going to be this midfield is going to be in tough competition, because Yannick Bright, we all know, is a fantastic midfielder. He's one of our favorites, if not our favorite. But now when you mix in Kremaski, now that you have like I said, Telasco is going to be more of a central, or he's going to play more of a central role, even though he's coming from the width. There's going to be a lot of midfield competition, and it's very, very exciting.
Yeah, and that's what the team needed, right? Like I think we had all said multiple times, obviously, our attackers right now, it's Messi, Suarez, and Allende. And it's about the pieces around them that needed to be figured out and where to put them. Being able to play Segovia and Kremaski at the same time is good, because what it does is, you know, we needed something to create more offense. And because of the positioning of them and the positioning of Busquets and you know, the back line, who stepped up and played well, I think Falcon obviously made a bit of an error on the set piece, but overall, you know, seeing good things. Weigat had a good game. I thought Ian Frey was an excellent substitute, you know, like came in and had an excellent second half. So
Ash, more so than an impact on the offense, what I would say is it actually strengthened the midfield, playing with a middle three, with Telasco, with Busquets, and with Kremaski, completely fortified.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
That midfield and made it less leaky and really gave us an ability to control it, to be
and
able
create
to
more.
create balls. Like, because one of the things that we've seen is a lot of times, even though, again, it hasn't been maybe that successful when you look at the score lines previously to these last three games, we've committed a lot of guys to the front. And what happens as soon as we lose the ball? 1, 2, 3 passes by the opponent, and they're getting past Busquets and past Yannick Bright. And that's and you know, we talked, I think, sometimes so poorly about our center backs and about our defense. Oh, we need to get, you know, Falcon this or Aviles this. But at the end of the day, it's like most of these goals, it's them one-on-one versus a speedy forward versus a speedy winger, because we're getting beat and we only have two guys in the midfield. I think that finally Mascherano saw that and said, let me get three guys along with Telasco in that midfield. And I think that completely made a difference. Now, maybe the opponent too, right? You know, we'll have to see consistency. Maybe it had more to do with Columbus, but this game with those three in the midfield, wow, like we really had a presence in that midfield while being able to attack, and I thought that made a huge difference for us.
Huge. I think it was very little to do with Columbus and all to do with Inter Miami, their pressing, their game plan, their personnel. And I think, honestly, like, this sounds like a silly word to use in sports journalism, the vibes. The vibes have improved.
It's all about the vibes.
Immaculately. And look, we said it. Gian, we said it together 2 weeks ago when we were sitting at the press box, so furious about the end of the Orlando match. We said, this could be the make or break of the season. This could be your season defining moment. Are you going to go positively or are you going to go negatively? And then we see the game against Philadelphia and we're like, oh, down by 2 goals already in the second half. Like, they're just not getting it. Mascherano out. We're saying these things. Oh, all of a sudden, 3-3, and we're like, huh, that was a little bit more than we're used to seeing. Like, great free kick by Messi. Like, we're starting to figure it out. Then we get to Wednesday, nervous, thinking, oh, we just need to make sure we win. We absolutely dominate the match and we win by multiple goals, 4-1. And then we get to this game and we're like, you're playing a tough team at home. Can you continue and show it's not just a flop? You had 4 injuries in the previous game. You're going to have a different lineup from minute 1 to 90. This is your dress rehearsal before you're entering the biggest club tournament in the world that you are very lucky to be featured in. What are we going to do? And they win 5-1 in an outstanding fashion. So vibes right now are here. Is it going to turn into anything? I don't know. But what it reminded me of is that we have Lionel Messi, and we have, if he's going to continue this form, which even if it's in short bursts, let's take the burst now, Luis Suarez. Okay, if we can guarantee ourselves the now 3 or 4 goals, we got our players running and running for something important. Okay, that may change things a little. You know, that may make this a little bit more interesting. What do you think?
What do you think, Matt?
I think Messi likes playing in the summertime because it reminds him of playing with the national team. You know, he's like, oh, like he's locked in with the national team. So he's like, oh, okay, I gotta, you know what I'm saying? He's gotta look good. No, but you said actually you're reminded that we have Messi on the team. I'm reminded that we literally have the best team in the MLS and we have a fantastic roster and we have fantastic players. And even though like it was a short spurt and we can't really say that, they've really like turned, like what Gian said earlier, turned a page. But if we continue to be the protagonists, if we continue to play with this aggressive, this okay, like we want to win every game, then there's nothing that can stop us. Even in the Club World Cup, we can be as competitive as possibly can. If we go into World Cup thinking that we're not gonna do anything, I'm talking as a team here. If you're going in as a team, it's like, oh, like we're not gonna do anything. We're playing Palmeiras, we're playing Porto. Like, no, like we gotta be like, yo, we're gonna give these guys a game. We're gonna play our hearts out. And we're gonna be aggressive because in the last 2 months with this conservative game style that we've been playing, it hasn't been working. But now that when we get determined, when we get passionate, when we get motivated, go for it and play. Like when we're down 2-0 or whatever against or 3-1 against Philly, we didn't give up. We conceded 2 leaky goals against Montreal, but it's still we put 4 past them, and now we put 5 against Columbus. This is how we're supposed to be in rhythm. And if Messi can lead his team to do that, if the rest of Inter Miami can carry their own weight and play together and have and continue to improve the team cohesion and the atmosphere and the chemistry, this team is going to be unstoppable.
I love it. Well, look, our first
unstoppable where though? Sorry, like you're talking about like unstoppable like in MLS, or you're also thinking that's going to like seep into like the Club World Cup. Like you're getting out of the you can get out of the group stage.
Listen. At this point, I have such positive vibes right now. Like the 4-2, the 5-1.
Vibes.
This is all the vibes right now. This episode vibes. Is about the vibes. It's about the Miami vibes. I'm going to be real. The expectations are low. I'm setting them low. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't aim to go above and beyond. And like, and play and still play our best. I genuinely think that if this team tries hard enough, we don't know how Palmeiras is going to play. We don't know how Porto is going to play. We don't know how seriously they're going to take these competitions. We don't know how Al Ahly is going to be taking this competition. These are some of the best teams in their respective leagues. We're one of the best teams in our respective league. I think that we can be unstoppable if we play right, if we have the right mindset and we can work together. I'm being serious.
No, yeah, I no, think it all starts. It all starts with match day one against Al Ahly, obviously mm-hmm. in the Egyptian league, first there. But you know, if I'm looking at the three and I'm thinking, who you know, I think it's a great first game for us, right, to be able to see how and what we can do. Because if you win, then you're able to look at the next two matches and be able to try and be really, you know, strategic and figure out what is our greatest path to get out of the group. You know, obviously right now, I think Palmeiras is 4th in the Brazilian league.
I believe so.
Porto's 3rd in the Portuguese league. I think I feel like the Brazilian league and the MLS are somewhat similar. No, would you say? I know. I feel like the Portuguese league is better than MLS, probably. I think the Brazilian league is a little closer.
I don't know. I mean, I think Brazilian league is above MLS. I think from what I at least like I don't watch the Brazilian league per se, but I do watch a lot of Libertadores. And those teams from there, like, man, they're like really good. Like Palmeiras right now is coming in, like they're fourth right now in the league in Brazil, but coming off of an excellent showing out in Copa Libertadores. They didn't lose a single match in Libertadores. They're top of the table right now. They went 6-6 and they beat Cerro Porteño, Bolívar, and Sporting Cristal. Then you have other teams like basically all these teams that end up coming out of Brazil in Copa Libertadores are at the top of their table. Internacional, Palmeiras, amongst other teams here that I'm looking at. So I don't know, like Palmeiras scares me going into I think maybe even more so maybe than Porto. I think it's a different level of play. But look what Matt's saying, like if this team can somehow use this like momentum and go in there at being 5-1, like I don't know if they'll win, but it's certainly going to be a competitive game. Like I think that they have the chance. That's what's important. That they have the chance to do
it. I'm not saying we're going to put 5 against Porto or Palmeiras. No. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that we can definitely fight.
That's the thing about football. Like it's full of surprises, and any team can win at any given time, and you just have to be competitive to so that chance remains there. Like if you're Inter Miami and you're going in, you're playing Palmeiras or you're playing Porto, maybe you're losing the entirety of the game, but you're keeping it close and you're competitive. You maybe at the end you get that one goal and then it goes into penalties. Like anything can happen if this team can be competitive, and that's what I said going into this. Like, I wasn't expecting them to get out of, especially before this run. Like, we're talking about what I was thinking before, like these three games, like how we were, how bad we were. I was just like, bro, what are my expectations for this tournament? Just go in there and be competitive. Look like a team. Look like you're going to give yourself a chance to do something. And if they can do that, who knows, man? They may surprise us. Like, we'll
100%. And that just shows what the difference a week makes, right? Yeah. Because how we feel then versus now is all different. And look, they have 8 days to potentially add in a weapon or two, and we will be keeping our eyes on that to see what happens. Most of the team, obviously. What? Brian Rodriguez. Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was Brian. Let's talk about him.
Who?
I thought it was Brian Yamal.
Oh.
No, because there's a joke. Oh, what the joke is, Ryan, because there was a video about Lamine Yamal, like, being asked what his name was.
Oh, you're talking about Brian. I know you're talking about, but he got they asked him, and then it was funny because he actually posted that after. It was like like Brian does something whatever about himself. Really? It was really funny. That's funny. If we can get that Brian, that would be
that'd be great. I meant the other Brian from Club America.
But actually, that would be interesting. Ash, you want to talk about that right now, or do you have something to say before we, because I'd like to like just really quickly talk about
go.
Yeah, so I think that'd be interesting to see with Brian Rodriguez, because if he comes in, like, what happened to Suarez? I mean,
apparently they're buddies because of the national team or whatever.
No, yeah, they are. But what I mean is, like, you can't – I don't know. Like, there's no way Brian Rodriguez is sitting on the bench and Suarez is playing, right?
That's true. That's so true.
That'd be crazy. Like, there's Brian Rodriguez is like levels above Suarez, I think, right now at this stage in his career.
But Brian is a winger, no?
I think, doesn't he play center forward? I know he's an attacker, obviously. I thought he played more center forward. I don't watch too much of America's games, to be in all honesty.
Exactly, right.
So if he does come, we'd obviously have to do some research and watch a lot of the tape to be able to give a big analysis. But I just wanted to touch on this briefly. Like, I know he's an attacker. And I would assume that it would be, if he was an attacker, like, you're not taking out Messi, obviously. You're not taking out Allende. I think he's balling out. It only would leave Suarez, like, regardless of if he's a winger or a center forward. But anyways, I thought that'd be – it's interesting. His name is sounding a lot, especially now that America isn't going – they lost against LAFC.
Yeah, so
now
he commented on it recently.
So that, like, opens a door even more, I think, to him.
Yeah. Coming.
So,
and maybe look, maybe this is you'll see a couple other formations. You may see instances, you know, where now Suarez comes off a little earlier, or Tadeo comes off in the 60th minute or something like that, and you bring him on. You know, I still think it would be a benefit to have more attacking power, especially in a tournament where it's, you know, you need to win and score.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, you're going to need a guy of that caliber, I think, to compete. So it'll be interesting to see. I know that we have that special transfer window. I don't know if it started yet. I have to see if it comes up. We have that extra 10 days before the secondary transfer window opens up for MLS. So it'll be interesting to see who they bring in. I think defense-wise, I mean, I think they're set at defense. They've got a ton of guys. I love how what David Martinez brought to this game in Columbus. He looked exceptional.
Yeah.
He had a great game.
Great game.
Falcon. No, Allen great. Continuing to be great. No,
Allen looks great. So I think that if they do bring in someone during these transfer windows coming up, I think it's going to be somebody – it has to be an attacker. It has to be an attacker in my eyes.
Or a
goalie. I don't know if you guys or a goalie, yeah, as well. And definitely, even though Ustadi is going to be with us till like, I don't know.
Yeah,
that was a surprising signing for me, to be honest. I don't know how you guys felt about that.
Yeah, I forgot.
It was surprising, but look, all good vibes here.
Oh, that's true. Good vibes.
Good vibes only. Yes.
Excited to see what happens in the next few weeks. Obviously, we have international duty now. So Messi and a few others have headed out. I think Messi probably is excited to continue showing that, like, right now he's in super good form, loves to be with his country. Hopefully that helps, again, you know, bring that energy and brings that to the rest of the team. We'll keep an eye out for any big Inter Miami news stories before we get to the Club World Cup in 2 weeks. But it's exciting. It's going to be Club World Cup, back to MLS, Leagues Cup. It's all going to be very, very quick and exciting stuff.
Just light a candle for Messi. I mean, I just want him to come back safe and sound. That's yes. Most important for me.
We're all praying.
Yeah, I'm 100% praying for Messi and that he comes, you know, that nothing happens to him. Argentina has a couple of good games. So that'll be fun to watch. They play this Thursday against Chile. Mm-hmm. And then they play the following Tuesday, June 10th, against Colombia, which to me is probably my favorite match. I'm really looking forward to that Argentina-Colombia match. Argentina, because Argentina is always cool to watch, and obviously Messi, and they've got some great players in Colombia because my wife's family is from there. And either way, that's probably one of the best games. And then Ecuador. I'll just bring it up there. Ecuador, who's right behind your Argentina, Matt, in second place, is going to be playing against Brazil on Thursday, ooh, which is an excellent, excellent game. Ecuador versus Brazil. I honestly think Ecuador can win there. Who's USA playing? Do they have any game coming up?
They're in this.
Do they play the Gold Cup? Yeah.
But it's Christian income and it's like a whole thing.
Dude, we can do a whole episode on that.
There's a lot of drama on that.
On that.
Yeah, we're playing Turkey and Switzerland in
front. Undeserving Captain America there. We can do an entire episode on that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not very happy with him or with the team in general. They have a lot to turn around. But I will be watching the Comembol matches because those are fun.
Some good ones. There's some really, really fun ones. So, but what's most important, again, is just everybody gets the job done, comes back safely, and then we've got a really fun tournament coming up for us. I'm really excited for that tournament.
Awesome. Oh, yeah. Okay, great. All right. Well, that's how we feel. You let us know in the comments if you agree and how far you think this Inter Miami team can now go with what we've seen off of the last week. Hopefully, we keep building on it. But yeah, for this episode of Messi & Co., I'm Ashley. That is Gian. That is Matt. And we will see you next time.
See you guys. Monday's new Friday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.